go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we will break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. We'll recap the Cowboys' victory 27-20 as the Giants outlast Dallas thanks to special teams play, defensive play, and some key running plays by Orleans Darkwa, who had his first opportunity this season to make an impact. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chad. And Jeff, defense, special teams providing two touchdowns in this contest. Offense wasn't on the field much, but special teams and defense really put a stamp on this victory.
Yeah, offense on the field, second half, I have them down for basically three drives.
That's what happens when DRC gets a pick six.
Yeah, but, you know, it's nice to finally see a game. And for those Giants fans that are listening or watching to this program, who've been around as long as I have in the Giant organization since 2003, how nice is it to have a game where the Giants win on a special teams play is so comforting. I saw Tom Quinn in the building here about 30 minutes ago, and I said to Tom, I said, you know what? I just felt so happy for you yesterday because I think it's about time that the Giants have really been able to have one of these games where the Giants special teams is the factor in the game in a positive way. Brought Dwayne Harris in here to do one thing, that's to make big plays on special teams. He has not had a chance up until this game. Playing a lot of offense because of what's happened with Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham and those guys. So, you know, and he's just working hard and he's working hard. Well, you know what? He can now check that box. That's now done. He's got the return for a touchdown. I think the pressure's off him a little bit. I actually thought, Lance, that it would probably come on a punt return before it would be a kickoff return. But either way, it's a great timing for them to have that because that was a go-ahead touchdown. And, you know, defensively, this team, you're not going to rank this defensive unit personnel-wise up there with the greatest that's ever played the game of football, that's for sure. But I will tell you this, they're able to create turnovers that keep the offense and the Giants in games. And even though they gave up 233 yards rushing, something that certainly has to be addressed, more importantly, Lance, over the last 3 weeks, this is a trend now. The Giants were good against the run. They're no longer that good against the run, and their numbers have just been dwindling down on a spiral downward ever since they were the number one rush defense in the league. But the defense is, you know, they make plays. And offensively, just a humbling game. But then all of a sudden you've got the return, or not even the return, it's the injection of the Orleans Darkwa experiment, which I don't even know if it's an experiment because we saw this guy run in preseason. He made this football team because of that and the fact that he can play special teams. And if you've watched special teams like I do, you realize how important this guy is to special teams because he has been a real force to be reckoned with on special teams up to this point in the season. And I believe because of that work, because of the ineffectiveness in the running game, that he got his chance last night, and man, did he prove it.
Took advantage of it.
I tell you what, it's all you can ask from a guy that comes into the National Football League and just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. After the first two drives of the game, the Giants offense is doing nothing. So we had him as a guest in our post-game show down in the Coaches Club last night, and he had said to the audience and to Paul and I that it was asked by Paul, hey, how did you know you were going in the game? And you know what he said? Coach just walked up to me and said, you're up.
Got to stay ready.
Yeah. You're up. And you got to understand, these guys like Darkwa, they're not getting reps during the week at first team reps or second team reps. They're getting reps on scout team. It's so important for him to be able to understand, to get in the playbook and really learn what he's got to be able to do. Because when your number's called, like yesterday, hey, kid, you're up. You got to make sure you know what you're doing, because you don't want to blow that opportunity by getting in the game and not knowing what the heck you're doing. And, man, did he make a great opportunity for himself yesterday to go out there and do what he did. So, really happy for him.
And Giants had, by far, their best rushing performance as a team yesterday. 132 yards. They snapped a drought, Jeff, of seven straight games without getting to 100 total yards. 10 runs for 5 yards or more. That was a season best. And they only had limited zero gains and negative gains. All the negative gains were actually kneel downs by Eli Manning, but
they count, obviously, as run plays.
So overall, top to bottom, especially what Darko brought to the table, Jennings had a few good runs as well. All four running backs were involved. You had Vereen out there. He had a 39-yard run on a big drive where Reuben Randall also had a 44-yard catch with one hand. So, you know, everybody chipped in terms of the ground attack. The question is, can they build off of this moving forward, Jeff, because we haven't seen much of this throughout the course of the season. A lot of the damage with the running backs has been done through the air as wide receivers.
Well, I think that, you know, it's a matter of those guys finishing their plays, and the offensive line having an attitude and going out there and opening up holes for these running backs, and you know, and also having some vision when it comes to running. You know, running isn't always just hitting the right hole that the play's called. For those that never played football, let me just tell you, things fill up quickly in the National Football League. These guys are so fast. But you have to have vision as a running back. I think that Darkwa has that type of vision where he can see things and be a little bit patient and hit the hole quickly. So, but, yeah, I mean, you know, listen, if the Giants can develop a running game now, this is weird that we're talking about. The Giants had the best rushing defense in the NFL and the worst rushing in the NFL, and now they're trending the opposite ways. They're starting to run the football, but now they're giving up at 233 yards rushing, you know. It's kind of crazy, but, listen, doesn't matter. Because they win the game at home, they split with the Cowboys now. They're 4-3. They're atop the NFC East after what happened with the Eagle game last night. And man, I'll tell you what, the Panthers look good. They really do. They're a good team. I think everybody can stop talking about how, you know, I don't know about the
overrated cupcake schedule.
Listen,
they're
undefeated. So
correct.
Let's stop
and they're balanced.
But the Giants, you know, that was a big step for them. Because they lose that game, they have three losses in the division, which in a normal year, we're not calling this a normal year of the NFC East, you're done. Three losses in the division, sayonara. The only time that we saw this yesterday on our pregame show, I think you brought it up, or maybe Paul did, 2007, 2011, the Giants had three losses in the division and went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
Normally, but you have to be 4-2.
Exactly. So, yeah, interesting game. I think that the crowd was into it last night. It was certainly a home game, which they have to win, the Giants do. But they're still, once again, got things to work on. And who's coming up? New Orleans, we got?
Just Saints, week? And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, back-to-back road games.
All right, well, you know, don't underestimate New Orleans in New Orleans.
Especially since they've won 3 of 4.
And, you know, that's a tough place to play, even though they're not doing that well this year. But the Giants got to, you know, keep it going.
In terms of the offensive numbers, you know, you just mentioned this, Jeff, earlier in the program. A lot of people are going to look at the fact that the Giants only had 13 downs, Eli Manning, 170 passing yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I think you got to put that in perspective. Limited opportunities to run plays because of special teams and defensive plays. So that's one thing to at least take into consideration. Then on the flip side, you see the numbers. The defense allowed the Cowboys to put up 460 total yards. They had over 200 yards rushing. But here's the difference between Monday night's game versus yesterday. They took advantage of the takeaways.
They scored
points off the takeaways. Monday night, they were getting the turnovers against Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Problem is, they put up a donut off those four takeaways. Three takeaways, it actually turned out to be four because Cole Beasley muffed the punt. You scored 10 points off of those four takeaways in a 7-point victory. That's a huge difference maker right there.
And they didn't turn the ball over. Other game against Monday night last week, they turned the ball over. Eli with two picks and, you know, Rashad Jennings with a fumble. So, you know, that is why the Giants in those, you know, the first three possessions that the Cowboys had in the second half were interception by DRC, interception by Merriweather, and then another DRC interception, okay? So they get 10 points off of those turnovers right there. The Giants didn't have a chance to get on the field in the third and fourth quarter. So they only had two drives in the third quarter and one drive on the fourth quarter. Of course, I'll tell you what, that kickoff return by Harris was huge. I mean, wow. Talk about just putting this team ahead at the time and just momentum and just the team being psyched up and the crowd into it. I mean, you look at, if you look at it on paper, like you said, Lance, it's like, oh my God, this must have been a blowout game.
Well, because the numbers are so lopsided. Even time of possession. The Cowboys had the ball for 17 more minutes than the Giants yesterday.
Right.
You wouldn't have thought that that would lead to a 7-point victory.
Turnovers and opportunities and
opportunistic.
I can't even say that word. I have a mental lapse on opportunistic, whatever the heck it is.
But that's your favorite word, though. See, even though you hate it, though, you love to bring it up all the time in terms of how the defense is. Plus 16.
Do any of you have a, is there a word in the English language you have a really hard time saying? And some of you do. I know
everybody, I'm sure, has.
Okay,
one.
So yes, that's my word. So don't ever ask me to say it again.
It's been well documented.
I got to be able to come up with a synonym for
of opportunistic.
Opportunistic.
There you go. See, that wasn't bad.
Well, maybe if you're there every time to say it, I could just
repeat it, be like a parrot. That's fair. Understandable. But speaking of opportunistic, plus 16 now, Jeff, in turnover differential. Excuse me, plus 10. Yeah, 16 takeaways, 6 turnovers. You do that, you maintain that. I mean, that's a big reason why you have a winning record. The teams that finish high in turnover differential usually end up at the top of the standings.
They do, and in this case, when your team isn't the best ever, that keeps you in the mix. It really does, because if you're sitting there at -6, you're not sitting there at 4-3. You're probably at 3-4 somewhere down the line. And I will tell you this: for the rest of the games that they have, 9 of them left, 4-3, 7-9. Okay, this will keep the Giants, if they continue to do this, in the hunt, because the number one stat in National Football League is the turnover ratios in games. So if they can do it, then they'll keep it up. They'll keep winning some football games. They're 3-1 at home, which is a good. You know, you try to win every game at home. Here's the formula: every game at home and split on the road. There you go.
And it doesn't look like any.
It gives you 12 wins. So that's kind of the way it is. One thing we didn't touch on, Lance, that we made a point of touching on our pregame show yesterday was penalties. They had 12 accepted penalties last week. Giants only had 3 penalties this week.
And it was all on one drive.
All on one drive. So they certainly had buttoned that up and got better at that aspect. So, you know, the formula for penalties, just so everybody wants to know what Coach Coughlin teaches, it's 6 penalties a game is kind of the norm. 3 on offense, 2 on defense, and 1 on special teams. That's the formula that they like to go by. So if you can get that formula, and that's 6 penalties or less a game, you're in the realm of what is acceptable under Coach Coughlin's penalty department.
The law of average.
The law of average.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Speaking of special teams, before we get to your phone calls, and we will get to them in a second, at 201-939-4513, on the Dwayne Harris return, they mentioned that they were looking to attack the Cowboys in the middle of the field, Jeff. And as somebody who's played special teams, is that something that they essentially picked up on video throughout the course of the week? So they saw the weakness in terms of the coverage, and that's why they decided we have to attack the middle of the field?
Yeah, I think that what happens is in special teams, is it's all about scheme, okay? Every week it changes a little bit. But I did hear I can't remember who it was. Might have been Castillas. We had him on our post-game show yesterday. That return that they ran was the first time that they ran that return all season.
In terms of the middle of the field they were attacking.
So they usually are running what could be called a bounce return, where they come in the middle and they bounce it outside, or they go out to the right, or they go out to the left. The first time they really have had a middle return all season. You see that in matchups. So you got guys coming down there that are your L5 and your R5. You know, those are your guys that you want to, that are your hitters. So like Herzlick and Unga and the linebackers, those are the guys that run down. They had a matchup advantage on that type of return. They're on the return side, excuse me. They're the Dallas Cowboys guys that are running down. They felt that they could create a play in the middle of the field to bust him loose, and it obviously worked. So it doesn't work every time, as you know. But, you know, the goals for special teams on kickoff return is that, number one, is ball security, give the ball back to the offense. And number two is you want to try to get the ball out to the 30-yard line. That's kind of the rule of thumb. And if you could do that, then you got it going good. So.
First question that came to mind after this game came to a conclusion: when was the last time the Giants had a special teams touchdown and a defensive touchdown in the same game?
Well, I know the last time that there was a kickoff return was David Wilson in 2012.
Against the Saints, correct.
But did they have
They did not have a defensive score. The answer is November 4th, 1951.
Nobody would have gotten that one. I don't.
It's been
maybe
that
Joe,
long.
Maybe Joe in Pennsylvania.
It's possible. We may be hearing from him a little bit later on. And that's a perfect segue to the phone calls at 201-939-4513. We'll also get to your tweets, hashtag Giants Chat. Gerald is in New Jersey. He gets us going on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Gerald, what's happening?
Hi, Gerald.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good. What's happening?
Congratulations. You're our first caller on this Monday after the beat the Cowboys. You win.
Man, I lost my mind. But you know what? Before I get into it, I'm an intern at Hackensack High School. In a huge game. And I lost my mind in that game as well. So I've been part of a long weekend of losing my mind on football. So,
well, this is so people know. I'll go ahead and just say it.
I do want to say that your son is a heck of an athlete.
Well, thank you.
Back.
Well, Hackensack, we had a great game against Ridgewood on Friday night. Hackensack was down 14-0 at the half, and, man, did they come out playing in the second half. And it went down to the very end of the game. Ridgewood scores with a little less than 10 seconds, I think, left in the game to make it a 28-27 game. And we missed the extra point, unfortunately.
Boy.
And so the Maroons lose the game 28-27. It was a great football game. And, I got to tell you something. I'm not going to go any further than this. But the Hackensack team should be proud of themselves because they came out in the second half with a lot of emotion. And they were fired up. And they did a nice job. They also threw the ball against us, which is no secret now that you can do that against Ridgewood. But anyway, so thank
That's
you,
the scouting report.
So what do you got about on the Giants here?
Okay, yeah, I'm just glad that finally, you know, I agree with both with you and Lance about the special teams play, and of course the defense, especially turning those turnovers into points. That's very important, especially when we couldn't do it Monday night. So I do agree with you on that. It's just certain things that we still as a team have to work on. I guess, you could say that we still need somewhat of a pass rush, even though at times we did get into the backfield, did get a couple quarterback hits and stuff like that. So that's something that's still kind of, I guess, in our progress. But, it's just the excitement of that punt return and, kickoff return and DRC and making those picks. And, that was really what made the whole game, to me, what really won us the game because – we looked a little stale in some, phases of the offense. So, I'm just really happy that we got the win. I'm really happy that our defense turned those turnovers into points. And the special teams, I can't say much more about how happy I am about, the way the things turned. And, this goes to show that a lot of fans are ripping Reese's head off, talking about, well, he's made bad moves. Why would you sign Dwayne Harris for all this, all this money and the years and, blah, blah, blah. Well, that goes to show you right there what happened on Sunday. The Cowboys missed that. And for Beasley to muff that punt, that shows that the Cowboys sorely miss him. And, we gained a great threat because Cruz, he still can't really play. And, Dwayne Harris is not just, just your punt returner, your kickoff returner. He's also a threat in the slot, and he's showing that now.
Yeah, he made a big play off a slant yesterday, just to highlight what you just said, Gerald.
Which, by the way, was a great throw.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, it's just the fans. The fans need to just, let these guys coach. Let the owners, make the moves that they have to move. And, we're going to be okay. Somebody posted on some of these Facebook football trash talk sites. Somebody posted up the schedule of the rest of the season. And it was a Cowboys fan. And he said, "Well, you guys still gonna lose." Well, he's probably still salty about yesterday. But in my opinion, if we play well, I think that some of these next games, remaining games, the schedule kind of favors us a little bit. If we continue to progress and play well, I think we'll be all right.
One game at a time, as everybody says. That's all that's we got to do.
Absolutely. So. And Gerald, appreciate
the phone call.
Thanks so much for chiming in. We want to remind fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. Let's head back to the lines. Andrew is in Pennsylvania. Andrew, what's happening?
Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. What do you got for us, Andrew?
I had three quick subjects, really. One, I mean, talk about having two different defenses. I mean, you touched on this in the beginning of the show, but we go from being the number one rush defense to, like, just run the ball up the middle because we can't do anything about it. But at the same time, we're forcing turnovers with the back end of our defense, which was earlier in the season looked at the worst part of our defense, looked at as if it was the worst part of our defense, and we were ranked like 30th. What's up with the switch, and why can't we have both?
You sound like a coach. Why can't we have both, huh? Guys, really, why can't we have both? I just continue to scratch my head with this team. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that teams are – in the National Football League, you know, and if you've been around it long enough to you understand that running the football is the number one priority. So every team is going to try and attempt to do that. Once you break that shield, and once you all of a sudden you crack that what am the term I'm looking for? You expose something on a defense. Well, guess what? The next team does it. The next team does it. And now you are exposed. This is what's happened to this defense running the football the last 3 weeks. They've gotten exposed. On the back end of it, I think this team has always been able to create turnovers. I just think that they've never wanted to give up the big play deep, and they've just given everybody everything they wanted underneath. But they continue to get the ball. So that's kind of the, in my opinion, has what's happened with the question that you asked me about the run defense and the pass defense.
Andrew, the other thing to note, and this is not necessarily an excuse, but you have to at least put things in perspective. They were going up against arguably the best offensive line in the National Football League. Now, as Jeff mentioned, it's still been a trend, though, because the Eagles don't necessarily have the greatest offensive line, and they also were able to pound the football for the first time this season with DeMarco Murray. But what Dallas has in terms of depth and their ability to run the football, I think you at least need to take that into consideration.
But it is, you know, you look at what the Giants did against this number one offensive line in the National Football League game one, they stopped them for running. They think they ran for, you know, 70 or 80 yards that game.
Well, so, but in fairness, Jeff, you could also argue that they flipped the script, the Cowboys, because Romo threw a lot more in game one
question.
Because they attacked the Giants secondary as opposed to the game plan yesterday was we're not going to have Castle throw the football.
Very
we're going to just
point.
Pound
yep.
the football. So
You're
I think that also shifted the numbers
exactly.
attack.
Good point. That's why Lance is here.
Well, don't give me that much credit. Yeah. But anyway, Andrew, what else you got?
Do you think, I know it's kind of early, but Reuben Randle is still always just showing flashes. How much about would it cost to franchise him next year? Is that at all a possibility, or would that be crazy expensive?
Well, it comes down to the law of average in terms of what a wide receiver makes on the market. I don't know exactly what those numbers are going to be off the top of my head, but I don't necessarily think that the Giants are going to put themselves in that position. Once again, that's speculation on my part.
And that's going to be a high number.
Also, what I was curious about, though, is when you franchise a wide receiver, is it wide receivers as a whole, or he's a number two wide receiver and he gets number two wide receiver money?
No, it's wide receivers as a whole. You have to look at the average of the top five players at that position.
So you're looking at, like, Calvin Johnson and all those guys.
Exactly,
like,
yes.
You got to be started looking. I'm just guessing, like, $10 million a year, right? I mean,
in that ballpark, yeah, especially when you look at recent guys who are at least going to be considered to get the franchise tag. For example, Andrew, look at what Dez Bryant got this year. He got nearly $15 million for the franchise. I mean, if they were to give him the franchise tag, they wound up working out a long-term deal. So, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily something that the Giants are thinking about right now.
All right, and then quickly before I get off, did Narlene's Darkwa, was he able to play because DeMontre Moore was out? Why were we able to have four running backs?
No, he's been active. He's been active all season.
He's a special teamer.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's key on special teams.
I haven't seen him in on offense because he hasn't played. But I think that yeah, he's been active every game this season, playing special teams, and that was his role coming out of training camp, and he was told that. You're going to play special teams, and you made the team because you're a special teams player, and be ready. Well, he got his number called on Sunday, and I would imagine you'll probably see him in the mix here again.
Because, you know, okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Andrew.
I mean,
appreciate
you really
the phone
call. About it, Lance. You can't just have a guy come out here and run like he did and all of a sudden say, okay, that was good. See you later. I'll go back on special teams, right?
It would be a surprise to see
so,
that happen.
I mean, when you think about that, now you've got three running backs in the mix now. And Vereen, which, you know, Vereen is always in the mix. But, you know, let's talk about this for a second real quickly. And you talk, you know, we get callers all the time talk about Jerry Reese and, you know, the personnel they bring in. And, you know, yeah, there's been some dogs here and there, and there's been some great players here and there. But when you talk about Vereen and now Dwayne Harris as two key acquisitions in the offseason to help this team, man, they have. They really have. I mean, look at this offense without Shane Vereen. And not only that, you know, Dwayne Harris finally made a tackle on a special teams play yesterday. I think it was his first tackle this year. Tom Quinn was telling me. So, you know, these are things you want to point out when people are constantly criticizing management on guys they're bringing in all the time. And, you know, and it's not a perfect science in the draft room. We all know that. I think if you went at other places around the National Football League, it would be the same, a lot of the same questions and answers. Why did you draft this guy? How could we do this? This guy's a bust. You got him everywhere. Not only with the Giants, you got him all over the National Football League. So,
well,
I just
want
to throw that in.
And speaking of that topic, Jeff, David Anderson on Twitter at DABest247 asks, better free agent signing, DRC or Dwayne Harris?
Well, I mean, I think they're completely two different types of role players there. I mean, DRC is the shutdown corner for the Giants, and, you know, Dwayne Harris is your fifth receiver and your big special teams guy. So I think they get a little bit of they weigh a little bit differently. But I would imagine if you had to pick the two, I think you'd probably go with DRC because he's just one of those guys that plays every day. You know,
I mean, the positive about Harris's signing, and I would agree with you, you know, Harris, one of the reasons why, and he spoke about this, why he picked the Giants over the Cowboys was the fact that the Giants were willing to give him receiver reps. And think about this, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but given Victor Cruz's injury, he's proven to be that valuable as a receiver, Jeff, in addition to what he brings to the table
and
on special
teams. And he wasn't asking for something that he wasn't, you know, that worthy to do. I mean, the guy can play. He can play. I mean, he's a tough dude. Guy's a tough guy, you know. I mean, these guys are some of these receivers are running down the field and they're ducking out of bounds. He's not one of them that's ducking out of bounds. I can tell you that. He'll take a hit any time.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Lance Meadow, Jeff Fiegels with you here on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, recapping the Giants' 27-20 victory over the Cowboys as they improve to 4-3 and are in sole possession of first place in the NFC East. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff. How's everything with you?
Good. That's good. I'm glad everybody's doing okay. Any win over the Cowboys is a good win, okay, good, bad, or ugly. But, you know, I called last week, Jeff. I got a couple of things I want to throw at you. And,
sure.
You and, when, you and the day you and Paulie were on, you know. And I'm a real old school guy because I'm really interested in the ground game. And I called last week. I've called a number of times expressing my interest in seeing Doc White get some touches. Because the kid, in my opinion, is quicker to the hole than the other guys. And he really runs with authority. But, you know, somebody made the comment, this guy's only played in the preseason and compared him to, like, a Sean Bennett or a Keith Elias, guys that only did it in the preseason games. Well, anyway, finally, yesterday I got my wish and the kid delivered. So I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame just yet, but I do think he can be a viable player for the Giants. And another thing, as far as the Saints go, Jeff, I think seems to me the past few weeks you were kind of poo-pooing the Saints because, you know, they really haven't been playing a whole lot of good football. But I was able to watch the first half yesterday. They were playing like world champions yesterday, the Saints were.
Yeah.
I mean, their
offense
was playing like unbelievable,
yeah.
I thought. And just so everybody realizes this, here's a little fact here about the Saints. The Giants have made 12 trips to the Superdome. Okay, they played there 12 times. They've only won 3 games over the years.
It's been a rough place.
It's going to be a very, 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 very tough game for the Giants Sunday. I mean, Breeze was throwing those swing passes. I mean, they were running the ball great. It's going to be a real tough game for the Giants Sunday. But anyways, that's all I had to say. I just wanted to get that off my chest. And go Giants, of course. I want to see them win every week. But I'll talk to you guys again. So you have a good day.
Thanks,
Jeff.
All right, Jeff.
My app, and I'll hang up and listen.
You as well. Appreciate the call. And the Saints have turned the corner. We've seen that in the last two games in terms of the balance on offense. Drew Brees is healthy now, or at least he's healthier than he was a few weeks ago. So that has helped.
I think that's the big thing. I still don't think their defense is any good. But I think that offensively, I think they're, anytime you have Drew Brees and you have some resemblance of a running game there, the setup that Drew Brees can pass the football, you're fine. But their defense is I think the defense can get exposed a little bit. And exploded,
I agree.
But we'll see. Listen, anytime you go down to the
Superdome. Mercedes-Benz Superdome now.
Yeah, but it's a tough place to play. I played there many times, and it's loud, really loud. And the ball goes nowhere there, by the way. You're below sea level. So it's the opposite of when you kick in Denver, when you're 5,000 feet above sea level, and you go to New Orleans where you're below sea level, and the ball just goes it goes nowhere. I used to hate it. But I'm not complaining because it was indoors.
So you didn't have to worry about the elements,
yeah.
Especially during the cold weather months.
Exactly.
Let's head back to the lines. Joseph is in Virginia. Joseph, what's happening?
Hey, Joseph. Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Good. Doing well, Joseph. What do you got for us?
I just got to say, that was a great team win yesterday, man.
It was.
On all phases of the ball, it was great. This is really good. But I got to say, Dwayne Harrison, DRC, really came up huge yesterday. They really did.
That's when they got those big money contracts. What's that?
Oh, I said Dwayne Harrison, DRC, came up huge yesterday.
Well, they came up in big spots. And, like we said earlier in the show, this team continues to, just kind of, they make plays when it counts. But, there are some games they haven't, trust me, like last week. But for the most part, they continue the guys. And that's what you need. You need guys to make big plays in big games. That was a big game yesterday. And, you got two guys that are free agents that the Giants brought in here, made great plays. So what else you got?
Yeah, and Orleans Darkwood, how come he got that many snaps yesterday? He was just, in the game plan, what was up with that?
No, I take that back. If you watch if you go on Giants.com, they have the coordinators on. Is it every week or every
week? Yeah, every week. Correct.
Every week.
Okay.
And it's actually, I think it's on Thursdays.
Maybe? Thursdays they normally talk.
Thursdays, okay. It's always a nice segment. They got all three of them on there, the offense, defense, and the special teams coordinators. They're always throwing you some little bit of nuggets. They won't throw you a lot. But this week, Ben McAdoo had mentioned, somebody had asked about Orleans Darkwood, and his response was very, very quickly, yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see about Orleans. And to my mind, it didn't surprise me because I did listen to that interview. So when he came in the ballgame, I kind of understood why he was there, because I think that he's been making a little bit of a presence in their minds during the season. Hey, we're going to give this kid a chance, just a matter of when. Well, guess what? Their first two drives stall, they punt. This is his opportunity. They put him in the game.
And then at the same time, Tom Coughlin was asked about Darkwa. He also said something about we'll see. And he was asked about Andre Williams too, Jeff, because a lot of people were talking about the numbers in terms of yardage per carry between
right.
Jennings, Vereen versus Williams. And he seemed to think we've got to get him a little bit more work, because when you have a small sample size of carries, sometimes it's hard to get into a rhythm. But at the same time saying, hey, we may mix things up and you may see a little bit of Darkwa. And they wound up showcasing all four running backs. It's just Darkwa had that productive drive capped by that 15-yard touchdown run.
And sometimes running backs, unfortunately, they don't get good plays. Sometimes it's a play that's called in the huddle. They come to the line of scrimmage and they run the play. Well, guess what? The defense wins, just like the offense wins sometimes. And unfortunately, if you're not in the game, you're not the one running back that's in there for 25 plays or 30 plays and you're getting those, and you're only in there for 6, 7, 8 runs a game and you get 3 or 4 of them that are bad plays, doesn't look good,
Yeah, I totally agree on that, for sure. There's just one more thing I was going to point out. We get all these turnovers, but, we need to capitalize more on offense. How do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, I would agree with you, Joseph, and appreciate the phone call. But I think, once again, if you look at this game, limited plays, limited drives, so it's hard to put the offensive production under the microscope for yesterday's game. If you want to go back to the Eagles game, I think it's fair to say, yes, they could have used more consistency, more production. Ben McAdoo's the first guy that's going to admit that, because after that first drive, the production went downhill. Yesterday, though, they were efficient, Jeff. Manning protected the football, but I mean, look at the amount of plays that the Cowboys ran compared to the Giants. It was about, I think, a differential of about 18 plays more that Dallas ran, and Dallas had the ball 17 more minutes. So, you know, not a big enough sample size to criticize the offense for not putting enough forth, considering the defense and the special teams gave you a touchdown apiece.
Both these teams ran for a 5-yard average yesterday, which was way above the Giants' average of 3.6. The Cowboys, I think, were around 4.1.
Let's see, Dallas was, in terms of the running attack, 5.7 yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
And the Giants were 5.3. But on the season, yeah, you're right. It was just around 4.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just they both got the running game going yesterday. I think that you want to pat yourself on the back if you're a Giants rushing. They got over 100 yards finally. Against a pretty good front seven for the Cowboys. I mean, they're pretty good. But more importantly, what a great win for this team in the division, sitting atop first place again. Now they just got to take care of business. They got New Orleans and Tampa coming up, and New England. Those are your next three in a row, and then you get the bye. And I think after that bye week, things could sit there, and you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen going forward, in my opinion, in this division. But you got to look out for one thing, and this is my opinion. You got to look out for this Cowboys team, who's going to be getting Tony Romo and Dez Bryant back very, very soon. And when you look at this division, I don't think that the Giants are by any means tearing it up. The Cowboys right now are just struggling with those two guys gone. When they started off 2-0 with them, averaging way over 460 yards a game with those two in the lineup. And you look at the Eagles, they're nothing special either. So you got to kind of – the Giants got to take care of business getting into that bye week, where they're going to get Will Beatty back maybe sooner or later. I know he's supposed to come back this week at some time and see what happens there. But, you know,
and then Victor Cruz, too, is another one. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
Well, and the other thing to also note in terms of the schedule, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves, Jeff, but
we can do that on a
sports talk show. I mean, this is a tough stretch here. Jets, Miami, Carolina, Minnesota, and who knows, even Philadelphia, the last game of the season, and Miami has started to turn the corner. You've got four teams that are very good defensively in that stretch. So, you know, even if you take care of business leading up to the bye, remember, half the battle is still to be played out.
Well, one thing that I saw in this big, thick packet that Lance sends me every week, by the way, comes out of the NFL.
I just pass it along. I don't print it out, though.
Network, but I did not download the all 176 pages of it.
Bible.
So I don't have it, but I do read most of it. Giants, second toughest schedule coming from week 6 on.
Oh, is that right? Wow, yeah. That's a good nugget there. I didn't even see that one.
Second
How about that?
Schedule going forward.
So more of a reason to take that into consideration.
Say, oh, yeah, it gets tougher.
Yeah.
It gets tougher.
Yeah.
You know what? What a day when Jeff Eagles can come out with information and nuggets that either John Schmelk or Lance Meadow didn't have. What a day.
We got to document this here. October 26th, 12:38 p.m. Eastern.
You
let it be known.
You kind of stolen your game book here. I'll give this back to you.
That's okay. No, I'm in the mood to share. I got no problem. I'm not that selfish. Well, I can be, but I choose not to be today. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's head back to the lines. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Lance, hey, Jeff, good morning. How are you? Oh, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good afternoon, Drew.
How's everything with you?
Pretty good. First and foremost, man, I want to go back on something you said real quick, man, because I got a couple of questions. Obviously you can't score when you don't have the ball, Lance, but I think the caller was talking about when we had the ball and when we get those turnovers, we are not putting points on the ball. We're not talking about, well, the Giants couldn't run 1,000 plays. Obviously you can't because you don't have the ball. when you get the ball. We're not putting enough points up. That was his point, and I have to agree with him.
Well, but you know what that gets back to, Drew? That gets back to the red zone struggles. You know, think about that possession where the Giants get the turnover. Matt Cassel throws that long interception. Brandon Merriweather gets the pick, so they start at the one. Giants go all the way down into the red zone, and they can't punch it in. They have to settle for a field goal. So, Drew, they're moving the ball. The problem is when they get down within the 20 and all of a sudden the spacing is not there, getting it in and punching it in has seemed to be an issue. But that goes back to week one, Drew. That's nothing new. They've had issues with the red zone all season long.
Right. But it's semantics. The bottom line is we're not putting up touchdowns. And yeah, you know, you can argue that it's the red zone, and I'll agree with that. But the bottom line is when you get those opportunities, you got to put touchdowns on the board.
I agree with you.
I got a quick question, and, you know, this is kind of out of context, I guess, but it's something that I keep forgetting anyway. Just a curiosity question. Rookie contracts, like let's talk specifically about Odell Beckham. And again, it's just a curiosity question. How long do we have him for? I'm just curious. I don't know those things.
Well, they usually sign a five-year deal, right? Aren't they rookie contracts 5 years sometimes?
Usually it's a four-year deal with a fifth-year option.
Yeah,
That's how rookie contracts are normally structured.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. So we got him from then. Yeah, it was just a curiosity question. And when did we pick up Harris? Did I miss the boat on that?
Dwayne Harris we're talking about?
Yeah.
Dwayne Harris was a free agent this offseason.
Early free agency.
This is his first year with the team.
Okay, yeah, because he was a difference maker. Hey man, you know, I look at it this way: we won the game yesterday and everything, and you know, first and foremost, thank you, because I'm tired of losing to Dallas, just like I'm tired of losing to Philly. But you know, in a
Drew, by the way, before we let you continue, you're welcome, because Jeff and I did everything we could to win that game yesterday. So on behalf of the team, you're welcome. Very welcome.
Well, hey, somebody did. I don't care who it was. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But, no problem.
You know, the other thing is, we won and everything. But I'm not ready to crown us champs yet. I mean, we got way too many issues. You know, we talked about it. The rushing yards, we gave up over 200 yards. Darn near three, I think it's darn closer to three. That's real concerning. And this defense continues to now you know the game was kind of weird. The defense won the game and they played good. They had that moment. But we still got issues on that defense, especially with running, and especially looking like we're running out of gas again.
But you know what, Drew? You're going to call here every Monday or Friday, whenever, and we're going to talk about the same thing, because this defense will continue to have problems all year. Because you know what? They're not a great defense, but they're finding ways through the turnovers to create possessions for the offense, and not only that, by scoring points on a fumble recovery in the first game for DRC for a touchdown. Yesterday he gets a touchdown, a sick pick six. Those are the things that I think every week we're going to talk about that. And then you know what? There's going to be one of those weeks like in Philadelphia, they're going to get smoked. You know what I'm saying? So it's just tough. This team is not that good and not that deep to be able to sit here and say we got to fix these things. They're not going to be fixed all season, in my opinion. We're going to
I'll concede that, and I'll agree with that, you know, because, you know, the defense is just weird. You know, we have this weird knack for getting turnovers, but yet we get ran over, you know. So again, yesterday's game was the microcosm. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go, so I know you got other calls. At the end of the day, in a funny kind of way, Dallas was a team we should have beat, just like we should have beat Philadelphia.
They were. You know what? You want to win your games at home. You know, they say you got to split with the teams. You wanted to stay away from that sweep. And really, when you think about what happened in the first game, you know, the Giants are on the sweeping side. They could have easily swept the Cowboys here, but they didn't. Bottom line is they're still in first place, and that's all that counts. And you take it one week at a time, and that's what the Giants are doing. You know, got a little injuries yesterday. Some guys dinged up. We'll have to see how that goes. You know, one thing that we didn't talk about yesterday was the healthy scratch of DeMontre Moore. We won't talk too much about it. You can make what you want of it. But, you know, like we said, he was a healthy scratch. They got a little thin yesterday. They had
Robert Ayers had Ayers to leave
went out
briefly.
With a concussion, you know, protocol, came back in, which we didn't think would happen, and you know, so they started to get a little bit thin there. But you know, you look at what DeMontre Moore sitting on the sideline yesterday, kind of scratch your head a little bit, thinking that maybe Coach Coughlin was trying to send this young man a message, the fact that you cannot make stupid mistakes like that in the game prior to yesterday.
So. And, Drew, appreciate the phone call. Owa also left with a hamstring injury.
That's the other
so
one.
He got two defensive linemen.
Who's the other one here? Yeah, Owa.
And that's when you start to get into the numbers game in terms of who you would have dressed, who you wouldn't have dressed. We were talking about turnovers, the big difference maker between the Eagles and the Cowboys game. Carl Martinez at the C-Notes, who's very good in terms of the crunching the numbers. Of the 16 turnovers created by the defense and special teams this year, Giants have scored a total of 48 points off of those turnovers.
Oh, out of 16.
Out of 16. But that could have been even higher if you take into consideration the four takeaways against the Eagles on Monday night, because they didn't get any points off of those four takeaways.
Well, I mean, and who's the other team in the NFL that is just taking the ball away?
The Jets and the Broncos
are
up there, too.
I think
Denver. Well, Denver scored a lot of touchdowns.
I think they had 70-something points on theirs, you know, going into the games 2 weeks ago. So it gives you an idea of, you know, I mean, listen, when your defense can score and your special teams can score, that's just –
Takes pressure off your offense.
When you score in all three phases, you better win the football game. You better win the football game. So, Lance is the web surfer, man. He can come up with information like, you know, it would take me 10 minutes to find this stat right now.
Well, here's the turnover differential this season. Giants are number one, and they got a cushion now at plus 10. Broncos, Packers are plus 6. Patriots are plus 5. Denver has scored 47 points off of 17 takeaways this season. Let's
see,
in terms of
70-something points. Oh.
Well, they have a number of defensive touchdowns, though.
Oh, okay.
Of the 47 points, I want to say Denver's got at least 4 defensive touchdowns. I'm just estimating that off the top of my head. I know they have a lot of interception returns. The most points off of takeaways this season is the Eagles, actually, and the Cardinals. And the Cardinals still play tonight. So they're probably going to increase that total potentially. They both have 59. The Rams are at 49. The Broncos are 47.
Wow. Go back up there to the top six. The
ones in terms of turnover differential?
Yeah.
Well, that's the bottom six here. That's the top six.
All right. So you got the Giants at 4-3. The Broncos undefeated. The Packers
undefeated.
New England Patriots.
And then the next team, too, undefeated. Right behind the Giants, 4 teams that have yet to lose a game.
That are undefeated.
And then you have the Jets at 7, another team that has a winning record.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not a coincidence that both of those go hand in hand. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Dennis is in Miami. Dennis, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Jeff, Lance, good to talk to you guys again.
Very good.
Same here.
Rather handsome today with your sports jacket on.
Well, thank you. Now, Dennis, you're in Miami. We know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what?
I've called.
Okay, listen. I know this is the Giants show.
Uh-oh.
But man,
I know where we're going
man,
here.
Man, oh man, right? You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I mean,
yeah.
Man, they got to turn it around down there.
Hurricanes football.
You cannot have the U getting smoked like that. I mean,
I wasn't going to say anything, Jeff, but since you took it off, yeah, that was not good.
Well, when I see Miami, the first thing I think of, you know. So.
They could think of the alma mater.
Anyways,
I just have a couple of comments, of course. Great, great win. You know, we definitely needed to beat the Cowboys, like Drew just said. It's a must win anytime we meet those guys, but great team effort, great all the way around. Dwayne Harris, kudos. You know, you did an outstanding job. We need more of that coming up. Last week, I think it was talked about, and it just hit me over the weekend. I kept mulling it over. It's related to Victor Cruz. I know some callers had said maybe we should just, you know, scrap him for the year and bring in someone else. And everybody asked, hey, okay, well, who else is out there? It just hit me, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but Hakeem Nicks, is he not a free agent? And why would we not consider just bringing him back for this year? I mean, he's still a decent player, and he's worked with Eli. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I will tell you this.
And my next question. I'll let you guys go and continue.
Sure.
And what do you think we need to do with our offensive line? It's just in shambles, and Lance will probably have some good statistical analysis for us, which is why I wanted to get in the call. What is our turnaround for this moving forward for our season? And I'll let you guys go. Go Giants. Pleasure to talk to you.
All right, Dennis. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, I know that they, a couple weeks ago, they had a tryout for some receivers, and they had Hakeem Nicks in. They also had Wes Welker in here. So they're there. And I just think that right now, when you have Reuben Randall and you have Odell Beckham and now Harris all healthy playing every week, I mean, they may not be 100% healthy, but, there's really no need to go out and get another guy and because you have to cut somebody. And the depth of this team is very deep, so they just can't go out and you cut somebody to bring in another guy. I don't know. I don't think it's the time. The other thing is that this offensive line, I think that what happens is, once in a while as the first 4 weeks of the season go, there's teams that you get on tape and they start seeing this is how the team plays. They go back last year and look at some of the game film on last year, but it's all new personnel. So they look at the first four games of the season, and then going forward, they start to make different kinds of coaching changes as far as philosophies. They develop game plans, and they finally find out what guys can do and what they can't do, and they start exposing them, and they start going after their weaknesses. Key point last week, okay, they start moving around the defensive linemen who play – they're kind of playing a little bit out of position. Well, they expose Marshall Newhouse. I'm dating myself,
Robert Newhouse.
But they exposed him. You know what? Look what happens this week, okay? They saw that Eric Flowers, Hardy, he was doing a good job on Hardy. So what they do, they put Hardy, they say, let's go over and let's go start attacking Schwartz and Newhouse and see what we can do over there. Well, they was like going fishing. They got a couple bites over there, and next thing you know, they're in. So that's kind of – you got to shore up those things. Now, a year ago, all we're talking about is that now with Beatty, everybody wanted to get rid of Beatty. Nobody wants him to come back. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody wants Beatty to come back now because obviously Newhouse is getting just, worked on the other side. So I think that there's still some things to be changed on that offensive line. We'll see what happens with William Beatty when he comes back or when he comes back. But, in my mind, you got to kind of think about maybe Flowers going over to the right and Beatty getting back in his original position if that's the case.
Well, getting Beatty back is essentially like making a trade.
Well,
and
yeah,
acquiring a new player late in the season
because
you haven't had him for such a long stretch.
And the good thing about it is that you've gone up to this point without him. And now you're getting, like you said, you're getting a guy that's there's no bones about it. William Beatty is a better player than Newhouse. I mean, obviously he's a starter in this league and he's been a starter and he's getting paid big money to play. Got to get him in the lineup.
I think Flowers has played great for a young guy who's been tested by a number of prolific pass rushers. He's held his own. The side with Newhouse and Schwartz, there's been some issues. Yesterday, the quarterback hits was much better in terms of a lower number. Each of the last two games, Manning was hit 7 times for quarterback hits. I'm not so worried about the sacks. It's the quarterback hits. Yesterday, just 3 quarterback hits for Eli Manning. So, that number was brought down. He was sacked twice. Some of them were costly because they came on third downs and they halted drives. So, you do need to take that into consideration. But, considering you have some young pieces on this offensive line and you put Flowers in a very tough spot to start the season as a rookie. Remember, most rookies do not start off at left tackle. He was thrown right into the fire, and I think he's matured each and every week. That's why when you get Beatty back, it gives you some flexibility, Jeff. I mean, right now it's up in the air. Would they put Beatty back at left tackle? Would they keep Flowers where he is in his comfort zone and move him to right? I mean, they're going to have the next few weeks to at least determine what they want to do. But I always say it's a good problem to have if you're getting a player like Will Beatty back as opposed to not getting somebody like Will Beatty in the mix.
Yeah, and we're getting the Giant. He's going to be healthy to come back. It's not like a Victor Cruz where they don't know kind of when he's coming. He's coming back. He's getting healthier. We know that he was able to come back last week, and we'll see what happens.
And in terms of the math, Tom Coughlin said he started working out last week. Yeah. So once he starts working out, it's a 21-day window to activate him to the 53.
Okay.
So that means they still have technically 2 more weeks to determine what they want to do with Will Beedy.
Gotcha.
And we'll have to see what his progress is.
Then he's active. If not, they have to put him on IR.
Correct. Then he's done for the season.
Yeah.
That's how the window works. All right, let's close out the program with a few more callers. I know you've been waiting patiently on the line. Rich is in Trenton. Rich, what's happening?
Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys?
How we doing, Rich?
Good, good. Let me just go on and start. I have the good and the bad. Some call me a pessimistic fan. I like to think of myself as a realistic fan. First, let's talk about the good. This kid, Dwayne Harris, I mean, I knew when we brought him in, he was going to make plays. Was that not electric?
Unbelievable.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I knew he would break one sooner or later, but the timing of it was just amazing. Last time I called, I talked about the toughness that Merriweather and Collins are bringing to that defensive backfield, and we saw the last couple of games, Merriweather really stepping up, making plays, being a leader, and I really like that. I like the re-entrance of Orleans Darkwa, right? We really, really needed that flash, okay? But here's the deal, guys. We let Matt Castle, a quarterback who has not started in the NFL, walk that offense up and down the field at will. Okay, now I hear a lot about the Dallas offensive line is amazing, blah, blah, blah. The Eagles did it too. This Giants defense is the antidote for any struggling offense in the NFL. Whenever it's time to get right, play the New York Giants. And I think the same thing is going to happen next week with the Saints. I mean, they're currently surging, and if that defense cannot get pressure on the quarterback, I mean, Matt Castle had all day, even with double O back. I mean, Matt Castle had all day to throw the ball. And I'm just concerned that until we develop a consistent pass rush, regardless of how bad the division is, we're not going to go far. What are your thoughts about that?
No, I think I said it earlier. I think that the only way this defense is keeping the team in the game is because it's creating turnovers and actually scoring off of those turnovers. Because you're right, they've gotten no pressure on the quarterback. Look at the first game against the Cowboys. Tony Romo had all the time in the world to just throw the ball everywhere. They didn't have to run the football, like Lance said earlier, because they could throw. They just able to throw the football. But yesterday, even Matt Castle, the Cowboys' game plan was that we're going to run the football because we're not going to put the game in Matt Castle's hands. And if he has to win it for us, we know we'll kind of take our chances. But they certainly ran their game plan because they ran for over 200 yards against a defense that continues to give up big plays, but they get the ball. They're creating turnovers. And, you know, you look at their differential, where they're at in the National Football League, they're number one in the National Football League, and that's the only reason they're 4-3. The only reason they're 4-3 is because of that statistic, in my opinion.
Because, Rich, takeaways, as Jeff mentioned, they could cover up some of your other issues and some of your other shortcomings.
Yeah.
You know, if you have that bend but don't break philosophy, teams can get into the red zone, Jeff, but then if you take the ball away at a high volume, you're not allowing them to get into the end zone.
But you know what? It's just going to continue every week. We're going to talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. This improved. Well, this got worse. You know, you're not going to see the consistency. The only consistency I see in this is that there is no pass rush and that we now are consistently giving up 100-plus yards a game running, you know?
I just think that without that pick six from DRC, one of which he dropped, by the way, but I'm
yep.
glad you made that up. But without that and without Dwayne Harrison's big-time play, I'm just concerned that it would have been just another sad Monday where you guys are taking a beating. Last week was just crucial. Last Tuesday, after that Eagles game, it seems like you guys were taking the beating.
We just let everybody speak.
We let you vent. Yes.
Thanks. Well, hey, you guys do a great job, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Rich. Thanks so much for weighing in. And I understand the point Rich is bringing up, and I think it's a great point, Jeff, because as a fan, as whoever else is associated with the team, you never want to say to yourself, well, we're just going to bank on we're going to get 2 or 3 takeaways a game.
Oh, you can't do that. Yeah.
You can't. But here's the thing about the Giants. They have been fairly consistent in that department. So to me, it's not fluky. Now, that doesn't mean you go into every game once again saying, oh, the Giants are definitely going to get 1 or 2 takeaways. But if you do the math, 16 takeaways in seven games.
Yeah, two a game.
You're getting about two a game, which is pretty good average.
Turning it over at two a game. So, I mean, up until the Philly game, the Giants had only given up, what, was it one turnover, two turnovers on the season?
They had three. Manning was responsible for all three.
Yeah, so, but it's just, listen, I think that the other teams in this division they're the same way. You know, you look at Washington. They get blown out 1 week, and then they come back and have the biggest comeback in the history. Now, the history of the Redskins is pretty deep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're going way back on that one.
Oh, yeah.
To win that game yesterday. So every team in this division is scratching and, you know, it's going to be a race. It's going to be a race. And I think it comes down to the month of December, late November, December. That's when you've got to be able to, number one, be healthy and put yourself in a position. And then if you win in those months, good things are going to happen.
All right, let's close up the show with two more phone calls here. JC is in Phoenix. JC, what's happening?
Hi, JC.
Hey, what's going on, Lance?
How much?
And
Jeff.
Eagles?
Yes.
That'd be me.
All right. Wow, my gosh. Came in late to the show. That there's many subjects that come up, and then my brain starts thinking about things. And
that's always dangerous.
I'll just touch on offense and defense, right? You guys can hear me okay?
We hear you loud and clear. Absolutely. What do you got?
All right. Well, let's start on defense. You know, it's evident. We don't have a pass rush. Like Fiegel said, we could talk about this every week, every Monday, every Friday. Forget about it. We're not going to do anything. Unless they come up with some, you know, strategy, let's talk about solutions. You know what I mean? What can we do? I don't really look at every play, but do we do any stunts or anything like that? Maybe we need to, you know, get more creative, you know, do something with the entree. Maybe stand him up and, you know, use more of linebacker Kennard. I don't know, something. We got to come up with something. I mean, at least we got a couple of hits on Castle, so we, you know, Merriweather got in there. He tipped that ball, and that was a crucial play right there.
Well, Robert Ayers also had a deflection, which could have been an interception. So they did get their hands in the passing lanes. I think that's a great point, JC. And the other thing that I noticed, they did throw some blitzes at Castle on third downs. There was one drive where the Cowboys marched up the field and they couldn't punch it in. They had to settle for a field goal because of a blitz that Spags called from the right side of the field.
Yeah. And then two more points. I know we're running out of time here. Hosley, man, I was a corner for 4 years in high school. I was not NFL caliber corner or college, but, you know, I thought I was going to have some deep in him. I mean, dude, three years in, and you know, that one ball that he floated in the end zone, Merriweather picked it off. That was a play that Hosley even could have made. He's like running down, looking back. I mean, dude, keep your eye on the player. You know, react from, you know, whatever he's doing and make a play on the ball. I mean, Hosley, he had a horrible game, I think. And then let me end on the offense here. Our defense is scrappy and they're keeping us in games. I think the offense needs to step it up every week. You know, we're not getting better, man. We got to put more points. I mean, we got the Patriots coming in. We got to get more creative when we get in that red zone. That's one of the solutions I've been looking at is, dude, let's do something out of the ordinary. You know, yesterday, the final minute there, we could have put the ball back in the Cowboys' hand, and who knows what they could have done. You know, three runs, you know, that's too predictable. We need to do something creative, you know, something. I mean, you know, get some first downs. I don't know, but that's all I wanted to touch on today. You guys, I'll take it off the air, and I hope you have have a great day.
All right, JC. Appreciate the phone call.
JC.
Let's head to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Wrap it up with Andrew.
Andrew Sr. said the same. They have to be more creative at the end. Three runs, but I disagree because maybe if you had a mobile quarterback that could bootleg and run, but we got burned week one against Dallas, so I just wanted them to kill the clock. And I say the Darkwa Knight. I watched that Batman movie after the game, The Dark Knight Rises, so that's my nickname for him, the Darkwa Knight.
Understandable.
Running backs. I'm the one who's always been calling for the rotation to flip that. Rashad Jennings is a good back, but I think he's probably the least talented of all the backs, so they need to shuffle that rotation. And I'm glad that Seagulls is on because I have a question. But DRC was awesome and great pick six, but he had historically one of the worst run backs after an interception. Remember, he ran backwards on the second one, and then he just said, okay, I'm loose. So he just fell down.
Well, he was itching to get back into the end zone, clearly. He was doing everything he can. He was trying to find different alleys and holes. Unfortunately, it didn't execute to the way he wanted it.
The question for I'm glad Jeff is here because I have people that I want in Mr. Mara's office, but good and bad. But I have a question about the punter, too. But the people that I want in the office is Harris Collins, who messed up, but he's a rookie, so I'll, you know, won't be too hard.
Did you say Harris?
When Harris made that great one-handed catch, he just ran out of bounds.
No, and that was Randall.
He was like the opposite.
That was Randall that made the one-handed catch.
Yeah. And Randall didn't run out of bounds.
That's what I mean.
Yes, he did.
He did. Well, I mean, but the defender, Carr was, I mean, in the vicinity of that.
Okay, so you're going to put him in the office, and you're gonna, what are you going to, what is Coach Carr, what's he going to the office for?
He has to watch film of Darkwa. You have to fight.
The Dark Knight. Darkwa. Okay.
So no matter if you play offense, defense, or special teams, just watch Darkwa go to work. That's basically the philosophy.
Okay, and then you said you're going to put the punter in there, too. He's a young guy. He's going to be scared to death.
Not really, but I wanted to ask you about the punter. I hate when the Giants, when they get to, like, midfield and they're in that gray area where it's a little bit too long for a field goal, and the punter winds up punted it in the end zone.
Right.
And speaking of Harris, he was down there, but the punt would hit at the one. So is it a penalty? It's not a penalty, right, when a punt goes out of bounds, only when a kickoff. So why doesn't the punter either angle it out of bounds or shoot, kick it out of the
nobody can
zone
do that anymore.
Or have
just,
it
land not, there's not one guy like in the National Football League that's talented enough to knock it down there like I used to.
There's the answer, see?
That's it. They like to do that Aussie kick. And, you know, I will tell you this, though. Brad Wing, he was leading the National Football League and inside the 20s, and he's had seven inside the 10 coming into this game. So, but he did have two touchbacks yesterday, which I'm sure that Coach Coughlin got in his ear about, so. Didn't call him into the office, but he got in his ear.
Andrew, you have to understand, everybody's goal as a punter in the NFL is to finish second on the all-time greatest list because number one is taken already. So you can only climb to number two, just so you understand.
I told my wife not to make fun of Seagull's fellow punter because she was laughing at the Dallas punter on the kickoff return by Harris. She's like, oh, look at that guy. But I said the punters aren't paid to tackle, and usually when the returner makes it to the punter, that means it's a touchdown.
Exactly.
But hopefully, maybe you could give him some tips and get more of that backspin, like that back English where it bounces backwards. That's awesome. But thanks, guys. It was a great must win and a great win, and I'll listen to you tomorrow.
All right,
thank
Andrew.
You.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
We didn't get to talk to his dad.
Yeah, I know. Actually, that is a little bit disappointing. He referenced Andrew Sr. He said that he agrees and echoes the sentiments of a previous
caller.
Maybe
he's in Coach Coughlin's office.
He could be. Or John Mara's office, actually. Forget Coughlin's office.
Yeah, I forgot. That's right. It was Mara's office, not
yes,
Coughlin's.
Yes, Mara's office. Go straight to the owner,
and listen,
not the coach.
I was called into Coach Coughlin's office a lot, many, many times. But it was all for, you know, nothing bad. It was just he wanted to get, you know, the pulse of the team sometimes, ask me a couple questions here and there, being that I was the oldest guy on the team, you know, literally by 10 years. But you know,
they didn't show you any tape of Orleans Darkwa, though, at the time.
No.
When they called you in the office. Just
no,
so we're clarifying.
Actually, they did not. So, but, so, and listen, a good show today. Good thanks for everybody calling in. And, you know, go Giants. And, you know, great, great win for them. And now they've got to move forward. They got the Saints coming in. Not going to be an easy win. And, you know, of course, now tomorrow, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but you and I think John will be here tomorrow.
Correct.
Yeah, so
yes.
You guys will, like, you know, we'll see how good.
Do you want to go through
for DraftKings?
Yes. Oh, we always enjoy that segment of the show. Yes, we will see how Jeff fared this past weekend. And speaking of DraftKings, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. That is going to do it for us. We appreciate, as Jeff mentioned, all the phone calls, all the tweets. Enjoy the victory as the Giants now turn their attention to the New Orleans Saints. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday starting at noon Eastern. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Have a good one.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30. We'll be right back.
intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!